May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning, beautiful, beloved people of God.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, beautiful, beloved people of God. Thank you. My name is Reverend Canon Audra Apt. I have the honor of getting to serve with your bishop, Ann Jolly, on her staff as your canon for innovation and congregational development. And I am especially thankful to Dean Owens and Adrian and Canon Cook for this invitation to be among you. I am indebted to this community of Trinity Cathedral who 20 years ago took me in, got me caught up in some pretty awesome Jesus stuff, and helped me in discerning my particular vocation with the priesthood and set me free and loosen the world. So thank you all. I carry you in my heart, and I am so thankful for your prayers over these years. Jesus is down by the lake today. He's teaching. Jesus is taking the word of God out to the people where they are. And I notice first how this crowd is definitely here for it. They're like leaning in to Jesus and pressing in, so much so that he's almost pushed into the water and he gets in a boat to avoid that mess. The people are pressing in and hungry for what Jesus says, and I have to imagine that this goes beyond the words coming out of his mouth, right? The vibrations and his words are entering their eardrums and coursing through their bodies and getting into their souls like that. And I have to imagine it's not just waking up their intellect, it's not just giving them feelings, but a part of them that's been asleep or dormant, or maybe even withered and left for dead, is coming alive. Because when Jesus speaks, it's never just words, is it? It's never just noise. There's plenty of noise going on around. Even back then, when Jesus was walking as a human being like you and I walk around today, there was a lot of noise. There were a lot of voices competing for people's attention, trying to recruit them to different projects, trying to get their energy directed in the ways that either that the powers and the principalities wanted them to, or voices trying to get in their heads until they think that they're powerless to stop it, and get overcome and feel meaningless and therefore stop pushing back. But when Jesus speaks, I like to imagine this is what the crowd is pressing toward. When Jesus speaks, here is love speaking. Here is life itself reawakening and transforming, even liberating everybody it reaches, every corner of creation where that word falls. Life takes root again. I offer this to you first because I know we're all here in some way to connect with God, connect with each other as a community, and listen to Jesus always. But I have to imagine that if you're anything like me, you're looking for a good word for your life and a good word for this world these days. So I invite you to right now open yourself up to whatever part of you this week or this morning is aching or yearning, gasping or grasping or pressing toward hope or love and life and a liberation that goes beyond any human conception of that. That maybe you can't see quite yet, or trust is even fully possible in days like these, but you want it. And I invite you to spend some time opening yourself up to it. Get in touch with it. Don't resist it. God wants your wanting. God wants your wanting, and Jesus, he speaks right to it. Trust in that. So back to the gospel. After Jesus spent some more time opening up the word of God from the boat, he moves from teaching mode into recruiting mode. He's not just there to give the word. He's there to let the word and hopefully bring the word to drawing people to him and his project. So I use this word recruiting intentionally because unlike a fisher person on a lake, Jesus doesn't sweep a net over all those people and drag them away forcefully. He doesn't trick or manipulate anybody into anything. Jesus invites, he speaks, he elaborates a dream that God has for anybody who's listening. A dream of God's people drawn together once more into God's presence and into God's dream, which is a reality that's more merciful and more just and more hope-filled that they can all participate in. He might use words, we don't hear it today, we don't hear a lot of what he said, but he might be using words like reign of God, kingdom of God. This reality of God's making, which is very near at hand, so close you can touch it, even if it is too hard to see for those people gathered down by the lake. Even if they can't even imagine touching it in this time and place in their Roman-occupied homeland. It can be easy to forget when we just read little chunks of the gospel each week. But remember, tension is in the air, as Jesus teaches from that boat. Tension in the big city, Jerusalem. Tension in the countryside, in the towns. Jesus begins his ministry and recruits people to come along with him during a time of upheaval and uncertainty. A time when people are making choices day in and day out about sides and allegiances, how they're going to navigate the threats, the choices they're going to have to make for themselves, for their collective well-being. When the human powers are changing and warring all around them, and the people are caught up in it almost like fish in a net, it can be hard to trust in a God who is faithful and present, or feel like there is a real choice at all about who to trust or follow. Because some of those voices that are loud, they can take up a whole room, or at least it can feel like it. This is a larger situation in which Jesus teaches and makes this fairly convincing invitation to Simon and James and John and the whole crowd. Do you catch it? I don't think he whispers it to James and John and Simon. I think he says it loud enough so everybody out there by the lake can hear it. And as I was praying my way through this gospel this week, I realized I felt like one of those people who just happened to be there and heard that call that Jesus made and said, "Me too?" I wondered if I might be a part of this project Jesus has getting going. He's talking to them not in a time of stability and peace and comfort, but of deep discontent. Jesus does this not like in secret exactly, but not directly in front of the people with the most decision-making and political power. Here at the start of his ministry, he talks most directly by the lakeshore to humble people, everyday workers, as he builds his momentum. Jesus invites them to take what they have, what they've learned from their parents and their grandparents about their work, take their energy and their time and their gifts and attention and put them onto God's work. Give them to God's project. To take whatever might be getting distracted or swayed by the larger voices and attention-grabbing noise around them and direct it to God's dream for the world. And every time they get swayed to look to Jesus again. No matter what else is going on around them, Jesus is recruiting them to follow him and trust in God and learn to put themselves at the disposal of a love powerful enough to change lives and transform worlds. So, hey, beautiful, beloved people of God of Trinity Cathedral. We're here gathered by a lake today, aren't we? Jesus' voice has carried somehow to us from a lake way far away and many years ago through the ears and lives of people who were born in different places, in different times, circumstances they didn't choose either. And somewhere along the way in their lives, they heard about Jesus or something he said or did. And it got to them. It got inside them. And somehow they came to realize that their life is worthy in God's eyes, that their life is meant for something more, that their life is beautiful and God wants them. And they found a way, beautiful and messy and complicated human beings that they were, to follow Jesus. And not just hold him to themselves, but to find a way to share it with somebody else, to pass it along. Through cathedrals, through small villages, through catacombs and, you know, storefront churches, this word of Jesus has come to us too. And I know I'm messy, so I bet you're saying, but I'm messy too, Ken and Audra. I'm too messy to share Jesus. We are all beautiful, messy, complicated human beings, and Jesus chooses us too. Jesus chooses us too. May we not hold it just for ourselves, but find a way to share it with somebody else who needs to know it too. So here we are gathered by the lake, beautiful people. What do you say we keep listening to Jesus? And when we get distracted or demoralized, listen to him some more and get caught up together into something even bigger than ourselves, something that's hopeful, something that's worth spending our best energies on. What do you say we get caught up in work and gospel-like projects that have God's love written all over them? What do we say? We do some stuff that's got God's promise of life, full and abundant, all over it. I know it is messy right now, okay? I know that. In times to come, no matter what foolishness or fear or chaos or intimidation is going on around us, what do you say we remember that Jesus has already recruited us to be part of something that is worth spending our life for, even giving our life for, just like he does? We are baptized into his body. We are called into his life and his death and ultimately his amazing, abundant, eternal love. This is work of love that can free us to live without fear. This is love that transforms whatever is diminishing life, ours, our neighbors, and even our enemies. This is love that can liberate us. And I don't know about you, but I want this. I want this for me, and I want this for all of us. And I don't see right now exactly how it's going to work. I don't. I can't tell you. But I want it. And I want it to include all of us. I believe God wants our wanting for this reality that is yet to be fully realized. God loves us in our wanting, and God is even now, trust this, wanting you and me to be partners in some really holy and life-giving work in this world today. And God is knowing that we need some help. And so God is even now building us up in love and strengthening us so that we can keep on it, even when it's hard. Especially when it's hard. God is building us up through the living spirit of the one who is love and is life, who has passed through the grave and risen to set us free. Who is he? Jesus. Who is he?
Jesus.
Who is he?
Jesus.
He is Jesus. Amen.